ce qui est à ma blog. Ce qui est à ma blog.
Hey everyone, welcome to the episode 18 of Sugidama Podcast. The podcast about Japanese sake, the drink which is full of so many amazing products that you need a competition to decide which one is the best. And we are going to talk about one of these competitions, IWC Sake, where I happened to be a judge a few weeks ago. But before that, let me tell you about our sponsor, London Sake, who have one of the widest selections of premium and craft sake available online today. You can choose from over 100 sake from 25 breweries, and they will deliver across the UK and many European markets. And if you don't know what sake to choose, you can use simple online tasting notes together with very sensible and affordable food pairings to help you decide. What's more, you can get a 10% discount by just using the code Sugidama, all caps, during checkout. London Sake, making sake simple. My name is Alex, and I live in London. I'm a certified sake specialist, sake judge, sake educator, and sake advocate. Besides this podcast, I write on Sugidama blog about all things sake, publish tasting notes, overviews, and information about sake events happening in London. And today, I want to share my experience as an IWC sake judge. IWC stands for International Wine Challenge, and it's one of the world's most prestigious blind wine tasting boards, founded more than 30 years ago. And in 2007, they added sake because sake became more popular and they wanted to judge sake. What is the blind tasting? So the bottles of sake tasted by judges, they are covered in special WC cover wrappings. So you don't see what kind of sake you taste. If the bottle is recognizable, very recognizable, and they think that judges might recognize it, then they bring sake without the bottle, just in a glass. The only information available is style or grade of sake, like Junmai, Daiginjo, type of sake, like Gencho or Nigori, the polishing ratio, brewing method, and some other technical info. So how did I get into judging sake on IWC board? To be honest, I knew about IWC for some time because the first tasting of sake I attended in my life was actually IWC Award Sake Tasting at the Japanese Embassy in London. And it was my aha moment, my wow moment for sake. I tried sake from 16 breweries there. And it was amazing. It was amazing sake, all award-winning sake. I liked it very much. And after that, I decided to start a blog, started attending some other tasting events or sake events in London, met a lot of people, and started this podcast, actually, last year. So it was a pivotal moment for me. So I always wanted to become a judge because there are a few reasons. First of all, it's an honor. You taste sake to decide which one worth a medal or award. So it means that you understand sake in some way and your opinion matters. Another thing is that it's an opportunity to taste very wide range of different sake, because although there is a good range of sake available in London, it's a tiny proportion of what is available in Japan, for example, or even in the States, the range is much wider. So it's a very good opportunity to try sake, which you will probably never try in London, because it's probably from a small brewery or it's sake made especially for competition. So it's a very good opportunity to do that. Also, you can see the trends, both in taste, aroma, type of sake, style, quality. So it's very interesting to see how it develops and what's new. I will talk about trends later in this podcast. And also, it's a lot of fun, so I thought. It was a lot of fun, but it was very, very tough. Okay, first, I'll probably tell you how the judging happens. So Usually there are more than 1,000 sakia submitted by different breweries across the world, most of them from Japan, but also from other countries. There are 10 panels of judges, and each panel it's got three judges, a chair and two fellow judges. A panel chair is usually the most experienced judge and who knows a lot about sake, who's been judging for a while. So there is a progression of judges from associated judge, as I was, to panel chair and IWC chair, for example. A panel chair has a casting vote, so deciding actually what award, what medal, for example, to award or how to mark the sake based on what to other judges say, but obviously still decide differently if you're a panel chair. So in my particular judging team, the panel chair was Emma Dalton, who is a sake and wine consultant and IWC sake and wine judge for many years. It's a very experienced person. And Masafumi Futasuge, who is a head of Hakutsuru Brewery here in Europe, who has been with the brewery for 20 years. So both of them were very experienced and with very good understanding of sake, obviously. Interestingly, that I knew more than a half of judges personally, and all of my podcast guests were judges this time, and those I didn't know personally, I probably knew online through Instagram or Twitter. So how I got into the panel? I've got a call from Ryo Yoshitake, who is head of Sake Samurai here in London, and very famous person in the sake world, who knows everyone in the sake industry here in Europe. And she knows a lot of people in Japan. It's a lot of people in Japan in sake industry. So she gave me a call and said, "Oh, Alex, would you like to be an IWC judge?" And said, "Yes, yes, I want to be." Without even thinking, because it's what I wanted to be. And to be honest, I was lucky because of the COVID. Usually, a lot of judges come to London from Japan, from breweries, for example, and from the States, from other countries. So it's quite international team of judges who judge sake panel every year. But because of the COVID, they couldn't come. So the IWC had to look for judges here in London. So my name came up, and I've got a place, which I'm extremely happy about. There are two rounds in IWC sake judging. The first round, you panel judges about 100 sake, and you mark sake in three groups. The first one is out, something wrong with this sake. Either it's it wasn't stored properly, for example, because a lot of sake come from Japan and through different routes, or something you don't like about taste or aroma or something, or any other reasons. The second group is commended, which are retasted by sake chairs after that, and they decide whether they're worth medal or not. And the third group is medals, but without specifying what medal you would like to award. And after that, there is a second round, so you judge about 60 sake, probably judged before and put forward by different panels of judges. And there, you again mark some sake. I mean, theoretically, all sake in the second round should be medal worth. But I know that IWC sake chairs, they put some out sake, discarded sake, into the mix, just to make sure that we don't treat sake, all sake, as award winning. We be more careful. So you still divide sake in three groups: out, commended, and medals. But if you decide it's a medal worth, you decide what medal. So it's bronze, it's silver, and it's gold. And if it's medal worth, you have to write tasting notes, and it's slightly different style of tasting notes you have to write. It's IWC style tasting notes, and it's focused on consumer, to give a consumer very good understanding what kind of sake he or she is looking at. And for bronze, you've got shorter tasting notes, for silver it's longer, and for gold it's even longer. So this is the judging in the nutshell. So all sake after the second round are retasted by IWC chairs, just to make sure that it's the quality control and it's objective. And there are two other categories of sake. It's trophy sake in each grade or type of sake. For example, it could be Junmai trophy or Honjozo trophy or Junmai Daiginja trophy. And it's decided by IWC chairs. And they don't have to, because, for example, if any particular year they decided there is no Junmai sake worth trophy, they just don't award the trophy. Or if they decide, okay, there is a particular type of sake which worth trophy, they can do that. And last thing is the champion sake. It's like the most award-winning sake. So they decide, okay, this is a champion sake. It could be any style or any grade. It's up to the, IW chairs to decide. So the results for medals will be out at mid-May. So probably when this podcast is published, you can get the results from IWC website. Trophies will be a few days later. And the champion sake is usually announced at the gala dinner at the end of June. I'm not sure if they're going ahead with the gala dinner because of COVID, but we'll see. This is how the IWC sake competition works in a nutshell. So let's talk about my personal experience and let's talk about round one. So before the judging dates, all judges received an email from Chris Ashton, head of IWC, outlining the judging process with a big emphasis on double spitting. So obviously, when you judge sake, you taste sake, and you have to taste 100 sake in the period of day and a half. And of course, if you don't spit, you will get drunk very quickly, and you won't be able to judge, and probably they will ask you to leave, and they will never call you again. So you have to spit, and not just spit, but double spit, just to make sure that there is no alcohol in your mouth. But still, during the judging, some of alcohol is absorbed by your system. So by the end of the day, you don't feel drunk, but you feel like probably wouldn't like to drive a car if you have to. So you've got a feeling that you drank something, some alcohol. So you have to spit. And the vessels you spit into called spittoons. And it's not a very glamorous, but very important part of judging of any alcohol beverage. So you spit into these spittoons and then you dispose sake from your glasses there as well. And there is a big canister in the judging room and you have to put this stuff from spittoons into this canister. And what's interesting that last year they decided to use it, and there is the Jimmy Brewery in Cambridge, and they made hand sanitizer from all this kind of spat sake. I don't know how to call it, but anyway, and it's like and we had this hand sanitizer. It's 80% proof, and we had it at the judging, which pretty cool. You don't dispose this sake; you just reuse it in some way. So it's very interesting. This email was mentioned that you have to double spit, and it was some guidelines attached, very, very detailed guidelines because of COVID. So you have to wear a mask, you have to take off mask only when you're sitting, and how you have to pour sake to the glasses for tasting and things like that. Very, very long, long guidelines. And again, it was mentioning please spit and double spit. And there was another guidelines at the table when we came to tasting. And it was again, I think it was in a capital letter saying please double spit. I think that the organizers just wanted to make sure that everybody available for judging during the 3 days of judging. So the judging took place at Kia Oval in London, and it's a cricket ground, and all panels had a room. They've got these private booths, I guess, for watching to watch cricket, and these booths were used for panel judges. So we had two tables in the room, and we were judging in one table while the second table was set up by the IWC crew. They usually brought sake and put on the second table. And then we went to the second table and they took the sake from the first table and put a new flight. So it was judged by flights, and flights were the same grade of style. It was like Junmai flight, Honjozu flight, Futsushu flight, and so on. So there were two non-grade categories, Koshu and sparkling sake, because it doesn't really matter in Koshu or sparkling sake what grade it is. It's more about the this kind of type of sake you judge. What else? The judging happened over weekend and Monday. I think last year they did it in 2 days over weekend and it was a bit tight. So they decided to extend it for 3 days. So my daughter told me when I was planning my trip on Friday night, she said, oh, leave earlier than I intended. And I'm happy that I did that. Because I came to Kia Oval and it said in the letter what entrance I should use. And I think there were no signs where this entrance was. And everything was closed. I couldn't ask. So I had to go around this huge stadium to find the entrance. Because all entrances are marked, but I didn't know where the entrance I needed was. And it took some time because I went one way and then I decided to go the other way. And, well, I found it eventually and got my temperature taken just to make sure that I don't have COVID or I'm not ill, and got into my room and met my fellow judges for the first time. So I was quite anxious at the beginning. The reason why I was anxious was it was my first time, so I was nervous. And the room was very cold. I had to wear a jumper on the second and third day just to keep myself warm. But it was cool. It was very cool. So as a beginning, just before we started judging, Emma gave very detailed instruction, but in very casual and way. So they were quite easy to digest, how to judge, what to look at, what is important, what is not that important. So how it worked. Two of the judges were usually pouring sake in flights. The flights were usually from four or three sake to the biggest one was 12 sake. But usually it's like 6 sake or 8 sake. So you taste sake one by one, put your notes. There was a special sheet for tasting notes and recording your opinion. You mark sake as you think it should be marked. And then you start after you finished. All three judges finished tasting and assessing sake. We discussed it. So we were saying, okay, I think it's that, I think it's that. So if our opinion was the same, Emma was marking it as, okay, it's out or it's commended or it's medal. If we had different opinions, which also happened several times, not very often, but it happened, then we retasted it and discussed it again. And then Emma usually took a decision how to mark a sake. I think at the beginning, I was quite concerned about reference point because all sake are obviously submitted for competition, so they should be good. And you don't know how to mark it at the beginning. Was it good or not good? Or is it worth a medal or not? So I was quite nervous about it, but gradually I got my footing in judging, and after a few flights I was quite comfortable deciding for myself how I want to mark. And then obviously I listened to the judges, to Masafumi and Emma, what they were saying, and given that I was associate judge and probably slightly less experience, I usually followed them. Sometimes I was saying, oh yeah, I still think it's good, for example, but I'm happy for you to mark it, commend it, or out, or vice versa. It sounds like fun. You taste sake and a lot of sake, and if you like sake, it's like sounds like a paradise. But it's very tough because you have to make a decision. You taste sake, you spit it, and you writing notes. You think what aroma is, what taste is, how you want to mark this sake. It's intellectually, it was very tough. And because I was spitting the sake, my lips became sore. So it was more difficult than I really imagined. Yeah, for you to understand how exhausted I was on the first day, I did a quick Insta live on the way to the station and was going to cut it into a story. But after the first fragment, where I was saying that I really enjoyed judging, it was very interesting, I felt so tired to continue editing, so I left the story ending on that. And Satemi, who was also judging and who was on this podcast last year and who was my teacher at the Kikisakeshi Sakya course, she commented under my story saying, "Oh, very insightful. It was very sarcastic, but what could I do?" So the round one takes half Saturday and half Sunday until lunch. And round two was after lunch on the day two. There were a few sake, but we had to write notes. For medal sake, as I said, shorter for bronze, longer for silver, and even longer for gold. So it took longer to judge the 60 sake. And as I said, tasting notes had to be in IWC style, which is slightly different from what I used to on my website. So it was a challenge. I did a few, but I think I was supposed to write notes because Emma and Masafumi were pouring sake. But I think I did a few of them and I was a bit slow. And the way how they word these notes is slightly different from what I usually do. So Emma ended up writing most of them. So hopefully she's not very cross at me for that. So apart from that, the routine wasn't different from round one. You pour sake, you taste, you put the notes on, and then you discuss it. If it's metal, if it's like a same opinion, it's marked as silver, for example, or gold or bronze. If there is difference, we retaste and discuss, and then Emma decides how to put it. So in many cases, our opinions coincided, but sometimes we had different views and we retasted. But I think more often than not, our opinions were closer, especially after the second tasting. But obviously, sometimes one of us reserved the opinion but agreed to follow the majority. So we didn't have any arguments. It was very, very, I would say, friendly and without much of fuss. I would say in most cases, we were on the same page. Before I tell you more about my personal experience and what I learned from the judging process, let me remind you about London Sake, our sponsor, and their huge selection of curated sake sets, which provide a great opportunity to explore various styles and types of sake. It's basically like if you buy a curated sake set, like three sake, you can play judge. You can try to decide what sake is the best out of three, or which worth a medal, something like that. So it's pretty cool. Have a look. But don't forget about the magic word, Sugidama, all caps, to get your 10% discount. So what I learned from judging? I think a great deal. First of all, palate training. I think when you taste 100 sake and make very quick decisions how to market and what are the aroma and taste, you train your palate very quickly. It was a very, very steep learning curve, but very, very, I think, beneficial for myself. I got much, much, much more confident now when I taste sake and decide what to write about it. Second thing is tasting notes. Obviously, you write in a very concise but meaningful way. So it's a good training to do that, especially if you write it for 160 sake with a period of 3 days. I think another very important thing that I learned from judging, it's I learned a lot about sake taste, what sake is off, because I didn't come across bad sake very often or at all, because I usually buy sake from good sake retailers, or I try sake tasting, and it's usually good quality. So for me, it was very important to understand how bad sake tastes or matured. When I drink sake, sometimes I leave it a bit too long at my fridge, and then I can sort of understand how the matured sake tastes. But sometimes sake is really off, and there are certain notes you have to pay attention to. So it was very, very, very beneficial for me. And again, you've got two people who knew a lot about sake, a lot more about sake than I do. Emma, who has been judging and consulting people about sake and wine for years. And Masafumi, who's been working at the brewery and selling sake across international markets and in Japan for more than 20 years. So it was very, very beneficial. What are my discoveries? Because I tasted around 160 sake probably in the period of judging. So what have I discovered? I noticed that there were much fewer Futsushu and Honjoza. And there are two reasons for that. Futsushu is not very economical to export. It's too cheap and the transportation and distribution costs are high for sake, which makes it less attractive for international buyers and retailers and even for restaurants. So it's quite understandable why Futsushu is not that well featured at the judging. But I think there were very few Futsushu this year. I think fewer than usual. And Honjoza seems to experience a decline, as many other Aruten sake with alcohol added at the end of the brewing process. So it's a general trend that Junmai is on the rise, while the sake with added alcohol, like Honjoza, Ginjo, Daiginjo, without World Junmai, they in decline. Because people, even in Japan, prefer Junmai sake because it's considered a bit pure and without any additives. So it's a trend. A lot of Junmai sake were quite fruity and light. I like this kind of light and fruity style, but it's sometimes you expect Junmai to be more savory, more umami-laden, rather than being light and fruity. So it's quite interesting the direction the Junmai sake takes at the moment. I wonder if it will get back to the more savory umami-style sake territory anytime soon. A great progress in sparkling sake. We had a few amazing ones, and you can see how the quality is improving each year. I remember at the beginning when I was trying a few sparkling sake, it was like, you know, this kind of sweet fizzy drink. It's nothing about sake. But nowadays, you've got so many great sparkling sake, which are at par with champagne. Very tasty, very interesting, and I quite like them. And I was surprised in a good way by the quality of sparkling sake. Another very interesting thing was super delicious kosho. Again, we tasted quite a few of awesome kosho, both sweet and savory. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of them available outside Japan. Because I remember when I was trying kosho before, it was hit and miss. Some of them I didn't like, and some of them were okay. But this time, I think most of kosho were amazing. And it's quite interesting to see that both sweet and savory, non-sweet kosho, dry kosho, are great in their own ways. So you've got sometimes sweet kosho, which is amazing drink for dessert, for example. Or you've got dry kosho, which will be terrific with food. So it's quite interesting trend. And I know that kosho market is still very small in Japan, so the breweries which produce kosho, they sometimes struggling to sell it. But I think it should be very attractive to Western palates. So we'll see more kosho here in Europe in next few years. So I've been talking about my experience with some other people over last few weeks, and I will just want to talk about the questions they ask. So one of the questions is, will we see the prize-winning sake in shop and restaurants here? Not everything. Some sake is brewed for competition to show skills and how brewery can make amazing sake. Some sake will be still available only in Japan. The next markets are usually Asia, Australia, New Zealand, and US, and only then Europe. But watch for the IWC badge on the bottles. It's usually like a round badge saying medal winning or silver or something, and with the word IWC. So you will recognize them if you see them. All sake in the competition from Japan, most are, but judging by the previous years, there are sake from other countries, from the UK, Europe, US, Australia, and New Zealand. So you see a lot of foreign sake in the competition, not probably big chunk, but quite a lot. Will I judge next year? I don't know. It will depend on my performance this year. There is a feedback form for panel chairs and fellow judges. Also, the IWC sake chairs might compare my judging to the general trend and see how in line with it I was. Because you submit all your notes, tasting notes, to the IWC. I keep the copy. As soon as the results are announced, I can log in as a judge into the IWC website and see if I judge sake, how it performed. For example, if I judge it silver, did it receive silver at the end? So it will be quite interesting to compare my notes to what was written and what I decided on any particular sake. Was it fun? Absolutely. But it was much harder than I imagined. The main challenge for me was the speed you have to assess any particular sake. If I was a bit of slowpoke at the beginning, I gained the speed by the second day. Again, was a bit slow at the beginning of round two because I had to write more detailed notes, but speeded up after a couple of flights. So I have improved quite significantly within 3 days. So I would call my judging experience at the IWC sake judging the highlight of this year, at least of the first half. Never know what could be waiting for you ahead. Is it useful for anyone? I mean, people sometimes ask, okay, so what's the point of this competition? I think it's a very good point. For breweries, first, they can show their skill. They can understand how their sake is received by professionals. They've got some kind of understanding if they are in the right direction, if they're doing something new. It's good for marketing if your sake wins a medal. So it's a very good thing. So it's quite beneficial for producers, for breweries. For consumers, again, it's a very good thing, because if you go to the shop and you see many sake and you don't know what to pick, you can look at these badges and say, okay, oh, it's got a gold medal at IWC, so I probably should buy that. So it makes it easier, especially if you're not very knowledgeable in sake. So it's a very good thing for consumers. And for sake professionals, again, it's a great thing because you will see the trends, you know, you will taste a lot of products which you probably won't be able to taste otherwise, and you will develop your knowledge of sake even further. So it's a very good thing for everyone in the sake industry, both producers, consumers, and professionals in the service industry, or like myself, I'm writing a blog, doing podcasts, so it's a great thing. Okay, so today, sake of episode is Suigei Junmai Ginjo Ginrei from Kochi Prefecture, and I'm going to open and taste it just now, basically live. A few technical stuff before I open the bottle. It's a Junmai Ginjo made from Matsuyama Mie rice, polished to 50%. SMV or sake mita value or Nihonshudo is plus 6.5. and acidity is 1.7, which places the sake into a dry light area. So I think it's quite dry, but should be quite light. The London sake food pairing suggestions are soy sauce dishes, barbecue skewers, or teriyaki, karaage chicken, fried rice, gyoza, tempura, vegetables, calamari, which makes sense for dry sake, and I plan to make chicken karaage this evening to have with this sake after I taste it. So serving suggestion is chilled to room temperature, again, which quite common for dry and light sake. A few words about the brewery and why I chose this sake. First, I heard about it on the Sake Revolution podcast. John Puma had one of Suigei sake, a slightly different one, but also Junmai Ginjo, And the Sugei bottle has a very distinctive label featuring a whale. Sugei is usually translated as drunken whale, though I'm not sure if it's a right translation. At least the first character means drunk, and the second a whale. So here you are, a drunk whale. Sugei Brewery is located in Kochi Prefecture, the former Tosa Domain. I talked about it before. It has its own very distinctive style of sake, dry and light, because they've got a lot of seafood which great with this kind of style of sake. And the prefecture is located between the mountains and the Pacific Ocean, so the reference to the whale is quite understandable. And the brewery calls its sake the ultimate food or table sake, which should be enjoyed with food. So let's open and try it. So it's aromatic sake. It's ginger, and you can smell that it's ginger. And you can probably smell that it's a bit dry, because the aroma is a lot of citrus fruits, green apples, a bit of mango. There is some kind of, I don't know, it's some umami aroma. Something more like it's more like a mushroomy. Okay, let me try. Yeah, definitely dry sake. It's very soft. And finish, it's a bit peppery. You can feel the alcohol on the finish. But it's not very long. And the texture is silky. So it must be very good with karaage I'm planning to make today. So it's pretty good sake for that. So definitely I would recommend this sake, especially if you like dry sake. Because I know that a lot of people outside Japan, they prefer dry sake than to the sweeter sake. And in Japan, the trend is the same. People in Japan, consumers, they more and more prefer drier sake, because you can see it by the sake meter value, SMV. Because initially, zero was neutral, and minus was sweeter, plus was drier. But now, I think 3+ is a neutral sake. So you can see that it moved into the drier territory a bit. So it's a great sake, and very, very friendly to drink, very nice, and it's definitely a very good food sake. So here you are, drunken whale. Oh, about ginrei. I was looking for this ginrei thing, and I was trying to understand what ginrei means. And it's some kind of refined style, but very good with food, something like that. So that's it for today. I'll be back with more episodes. In the meantime, try to judge sake yourself. Organize a party with your friends. It's warm enough for outside, and I think the restrictions are being relaxed for inside as well. And get a few different sake and do sake competition. It's fun. Let me know if you like it. Any questions or suggestions, you can always drop me a line. My email address is alex@sugidama.co.uk, or you can find me on Instagram @sugidama_blog or Twitter @sugidamablog in one word. Look at my website, sugidama.co.uk. I've got constantly updated tasting notes section and a lot of posts with recommendations. Sugei Junmai Ginjo Ginrei is available at London Sake website, and you can get a 10% discount there by entering Sugidama all caps at the checkout. Or go to any other online sake store, or pop into a wine shop, stocking sake, or Japanese supermarket, and pick up something nice. Again, if you like the episode and want more, hit the subscribe button. Please, please, please. If you want to support Sugidama podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, or share this podcast with your friends, with anyone who might ask you about sake, or on your social media, chat apps, anywhere. Let's bring the world of sake into the masses. Thanks a lot for listening. Kanpai.
Suge, 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 suge dama blog. Suge, 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 suge dama blog.